All right, let's quickly do this. Everybody say after me, say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will.
I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will.
I want you to reply me very warmly, all right? Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will.
I'm being filled with the knowledge of His
will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects.
I am bearing fruit in every good work.
And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Why is that? People's voices go down after they say something for like two sentences. Let's start again. Say, I'm increasing in every good work.
I'm
bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say it loudly as the word of God is coming forth.
I have a receptive heart.
I have understanding. I have open ears.
I have open ears.
And I have understanding.
I have understanding.
Light is entering into me.
It's
driving away my darkness.
Light is entering into me.
And it is becoming life in me.
Say, life is walking.
In me,
life is walking.
Healing all my diseases.
Putting an end to all my troubles.
Wiping out genetic troubles.
Healing my bones.
Healing my flesh. Say, life is walking.
Say,
I'm not growing old in body.
I
am retaining the strength of my youth.
Say, like Caleb,
my strength is maintained.
Say, like Moses,
my strength is maintained.
The vision of my eyes are maintained.
You know, the Bible says Moses was 120 years old. His eyes did not become dim and his strength did not abate. We must have expectation. What you expect is what God can do for you. Do you understand that? That's why we declare these words as we, you know, as it is written, we declare those words. If we don't declare them, we are not expecting anything. That's what is called the spirit of faith. Paul said that having the same spirit of faith as he that said, I said, we also believe, therefore we speak. You understand that? So everything that we believe, we speak them. So let's declare it again. Say, in me,
life is walking.
That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead.
That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead.
Is walking life in me.
Is healing what doctors said is incurable.
Life is working.
Life is working
in my finances.
Life is working in my career.
It is working.
It is correcting what was wrong
and making them right.
Say, life is working.
You know, I said something, was it on Saturday? I said, God said, let there be light. He didn't say, let there be light immediately. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Sometimes spiritual things, they're a process. That's what people don't realize. Sometimes they're a process. He didn't say, let there be light now, or otherwise something will happen. Jesus cursed the tree, not even realizing, let me be like that, not even consciously cursing the tree. And he said to the people, understand that anyone who will experience a release of power must be somebody who understands that anything I say will come to pass. For that reason, the emphasis for us Christians, we don't talk anyhow. You will never say, man, this car is just going to die one suddenly. And you're talking to your car. The car will oblige you. Third Mainland Bridge, boom, it will just stop there. You're on your own. You understand? We understand that everything that we say, all right, will come to pass. Say, if you have that kind of understanding, then you cannot say to this mountain, be removed, all right, and be cast into the sea. I'm bringing an issue here. You may say something now, and you don't see the full effect over the next few weeks, or a few months, or sometimes even a few years. It doesn't mean that which was spoken will not come to pass. I said to us before, we are very patient with doctors. Doctors tell you, take this medicine for 3 years. 3 years is smarting. Look, that one is smarting. Typical treatment of tuberculosis is 1 year, 12 months. Of course, new drugs keep on coming. It takes like 6 months. I think the best they have so far is 6 months combination. Everybody takes it very calmly, no problem. Everybody's happy. But their disease, the doctors don't cure. They will tell you, we're going to control it. And for some, they say, no, it's for a lifetime. They say, we can only control it. Hypertension is like that. Once they start you on it, you're on it. Diabetes is like that. It's control. Have you ever heard of what they call gout? Parkinson's disease. There are so many diseases. Many. There are many. And people are patient. Do you understand my point? They are patient. They buy the medicines monthly. Go to clinic every 3 months. But when it's God's word, if it doesn't work now, it didn't work. They prayed for me yesterday. I'm not fully healed today. So I mean, it didn't work. I've come to tell you again today, life is working. It is working. Sometimes it's a process, but it is working. You keep on pumping it in. One day you'll see the full result. Declare it again. Say, in me, life is working. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, we've discussed before about what I call following God fully. I picked the expressions from the scriptures. You find in the book of Numbers chapter 14. And I think also in Joshua chapter, is it 7 or 14 now? Thereabout. And there, Caleb, different references, of course, that to the same thing. All of them referring to Caleb as an individual. When Caleb and Joshua with 10 other spies went into the promised land. And of course, you know the rest of the story. We all know what happened. And God said that I will bless Caleb and of course Joshua also because they followed me fully. And we said that to follow God fully, the way I try to break it down for us here, using Psalm 119, is to understand that the Word of God has different aspects, and we have to follow every aspect of the Word of God so that we can be said to have followed Him fully. That the Word of God has promises. That is, God says to you something like, I shall not want, which is a promise. That is, as I go through life, I will not experience lack. That is a promise. And that's what David uses the word in our, at least our own translations of the Bible, thy word. That's what he uses all the time for those such things. Thy word. It refers to the promise he had given concerning his life. And then we said there are precepts. Precepts are the principles of God. There are ways by which God does things. Many times people will talk with me, I will just say something like maybe I listen to somebody give a testimony or you are listening to a message and you just say, no, that is not in line with divine character. You understand my point? That's God's precepts. That is, that's not how he does things. There are things, there is a way by which God does things. As an example, God expects all of us to be walking one way or the other. You know, idleness is not spiritual. Even though you may see a man, he's not actively physically walking. There must be something that he's doing. So I talk about the walk of rest. Like if you read my book, How to Walk for God, there's a chapter there titled The Walk of Rest. So that even though the man is resting, that rest is seen as work. You understand? They came to him and said, what must we do to walk the works of God or to do the works of God? He said, the work of God is that you believe. That is, God says that believing is work. It doesn't mean you have to do something to show you are believing. It's saying that if you are truly believing, in the realm of the spirit, you are seen as exerting spiritual energy. Sometimes you see somebody who's sitting down. Do you understand? And there's a little boy in my house. One day, he did something very terrible. Can't remember exactly what. The only punishment I could give him, all right, which was deserving, which was commensurate with the amount of evil he did that day, the foolishness that was bound up in his heart, all right, when it manifested, I said, all right, go to your room and go and sit down there the whole day. Now, you may enter there and see that this boy is sitting down, but that was the hardest work he could do. Moving up and down was easier for him. I don't know whether you're getting what I mean by that. If I told him, Perez, oh yeah, go here, go run. That's to him, that's not work. But to sit down in one spot, don't come out of that room. Sit down there the whole day. That was work. You had to fight every inclination to get up. You had to fight every inclination to come out. I said, when it's even meal time, they should take his food to the room there. He has to eat inside the room. He's only allowed to go to the bathroom to go and ease himself. Every other thing, if you want water, call one of your senior ones to bring water for you inside that room. Now you tell a child to sit, and the door is open. He didn't lock the door. and he has to obey that. From the time he committed in the morning till evening, just stay in your room. You may not realize that is work. The guy was working. Sometimes spiritually it's like that. Many of us, you know, in fact, I remember something I told your wife, Israel. This was, in fact, you didn't know her at that time. One day I saw her and a group of people, you know, a number of maybe four or five at ShopRite. This was those early days when the mall just opened. I told her, she's hearing me there, I know. I said, you know, she's like my wife, you know, two of them are the same. I said, you know what? She said, well, I said, you need to be conquered. I said, you need to settle down. That is, you have to go and settle down. You have a lot of energy. Same thing with my wife. Sometimes to tell the people like that to sit down. They are walking. At least that sitting down, they have to use muscle to sit down. Most people have to just sit down by collapsing. They don't know. It is, they wind themselves to sit. Sometimes spiritually, that is what work is. God says, you have connections, don't use it. Do you understand my point? So you'll be looking at the phone and your finger will be scrolling up and down the number. And you'll be scrolling up and down the number. Finally, you will delete it lest you be tempted to call. That is work. Let me know, you know, we have to bear that in mind. There are a lot of times you don't realize some people are putting energy. So when Jesus said, the work of God is that you believe, sometimes believing means, like I was giving my wife a scripture yesterday when we were talking in the house. I said, the Bible says, he that believes will not be in a hurry. He that believes will not make haste. There are those that can run. They are genes. They are a combination of Usain Bolt and Gabriel Selassie in one body. You understand? They can run fast and they can run far. Usain Bolt can run very fast. You understand? But people like Gabriel Selassie, they can run 42 kilometers and not take a break. That's how they are. And the Bible says it is a sign for them of unbelief. So God says to them simply, settle down and don't go anywhere. I need 48 months in which you won't go anywhere. Hey, those men will wake up every morning and confess to their legs, in the name of Jesus, you can rest. In the name of Jesus, you can relax. That is, you think it's a joke, but for goodness sake, the guy needs to hear those words for him to calm down. Because the Bible says, he that believes will not be in a hurry. He that believes will not have too many arrangements on how to make this ministry grow from one level to the next level all of a sudden. He that believes will realize that I have an assignment for this particular season. Let me do it until that season is over. When will the season be over? I don't know. I did not detect the seasons. You understand my point? I'm just going to do it until the owner of the seasons, the owner of the assignment, the master of the house comes back and says, this season is over. Talking about divine precepts. So God has precepts. I'm talking about that. Let me not sit on that too much. I knew that was going to bless somebody anyway. All right. So God has precepts. There's a way by which he does things. Yesterday, my wife and I were in the house, and I was explaining some principles to her concerning some things that, listen, this is a sign of our faith. Listen to me. No matter the amount of knowledge you claim to have as a believer, if it is not affecting your decisions, you know nothing. You hear what I said? Let me say it again. No matter the amount of intellectual, you know, knowledge of God, the scriptures you claim to have, if it is not affecting the way you make critical decisions in life, you know nothing. You may be able to quote Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and read it without referring to the Bible until you get to the end of the book of Revelations. If it's not affecting how you make choices, if it's not affecting how you make critical choices, which business do I do? Why am I going to do this? I'm going to get married. Who am I married? I'm going to relocate. Why? If you cannot, based on the things you know from the scriptures, make decisions, you know nothing. Very important. So I was talking to my wife yesterday. I said, listen, the things we learn, they are not for our heads. It's for times like this that we have to make decisions, that those things that we claim to know, we start saying, because of this thing that I know, everybody's doing this, I can't do it like that. In fact, just to give you a practical thing, of course, you apply things differently depending on your situation. That's one thing about always filling your head with the knowledge of God so that the Holy Spirit can bring up something for you. I said, there are times, in fact, you know, this particular one, I said, you don't write two applications. Your life is not an accident. Write that one and leave it. If they won't give it to you, too bad. I said, look, you are not a game of chance person. You get my point? Let me see which one works. I said, sorry. I'm not a game of chance person. Having considered everything, this is the only one I want. God has not, look, listen, so I'm not, it's not like, okay, let us put 10 down. One might work. Once it becomes a matter of one might work, I'm saying my life is a game of chance. Sometimes, look, you have to make decisions like that. I'm talking about divine precepts. Let me not sit on that too much. So, there are things that are in line with God's character. There are things that are the way by which God does things. And we have to walk by them. I was saying, there are precepts, there's a promise, there are precepts, there are commandments. Commandments are express instructions based upon divine precepts, which are clearly stated out. A very good one, especially for those of us in the New Covenant, you shall honor thy father and thy mother. Paul said, it's a commandment with a promise. Alright? There are commandments like that. And then we said there are testimonies. Testimonies are personalized commandments. There are things that may be right for everybody to do, but based on the way you understand your purpose in life and what God called you to do, and you understand it, because you see, each God makes a demand. He said, to whom much is given, much is expected. You understand? So God, having given you some level of understanding in life, he demands some things of you that you cannot even demand of other people. That's a matter of fact. So, even though you know what you are doing is right, but you know that not everybody has come up to that level. Sometimes it's just something that is unique about your life and your ministry. Alright? And based upon that, you make certain decisions. And we call those things testimonies. Testimonies are like personalized commandments. For example, in Israel then, when Samson was born, and then again, what's the other guy? Samuel. Both of them, they did not cut their hair. But we know people in Israel used to cut their hair, because the cutting of the hair of Absalom was a national event. Remember, it was not against the law. Everybody knew when Absalom cut his hair, and they used to weigh it. Everybody knew. I believe that his father too, David, used to cut his hair. And these are people that served the purpose. I mean, David as an example. He served the purpose of God. He was a man after God's heart. Yet, Samson did not allow a razor touch his hair. You understand? Same thing with Samuel. So you see, those people, for them, don't cut your hair becomes a personalized commandment. And so, each person will have his own. Each person will have her own when it comes to the matter of this life. So we also talk about ordinances, yes. Ordinances are things that are physical things that we do as a sign of our faith. For example, we have to gather together once in a while. You must belong to a community of believers that gather periodically. If you don't, you are disobeying God. That's the way it is. Because iron must sharpen iron. Iron must sharpen iron. Israel asked somebody once, you know, one of our brothers used to be here. We don't see him often anymore. He said, he asked him a very good question. And that question was, is Holy Spirit inspired? He said, all right, no problem. We don't see you again. Who do you talk to? That's all I want to know. Are you getting my point? Issues will come up in your life. Who do you chat with? Who do you chat with? Or you just go to Facebook and be talking to the whole world. Facebook is deception. Do you get my point? You're talking to everybody but talking to nobody. You are the village goat. You know the village goat? You know the parable of the village goat? Belongs to everybody, so he dies of hunger. You go to Facebook, you're talking to the whole world, but nobody's talking to you. Sometimes when I see Twitter, it makes me laugh. You know, sometimes people on Twitter, followers on Twitter, they'll tell you 25,000 people follow one person on Twitter. Fine, that's not my problem. People follow me on Twitter too. What I can't understand, that same fellow is following 18,000 people. Obviously, you're not reading the messages. But that one person is following 18,000 people on Twitter. I look at it sometimes and say, bros, what's the deal? What's the deal? No, check it. Just go to Twitter. Once in a while, you get there, you check some things. Okay, this guy has 25,000 followers. Fine. Check how many people he's following. 8,000. You're following 8,000 people on Twitter. If they all tweet once a day, you get 8,000 notifications. Obviously, you are not reading it. Twitter, Facebook, they won't help your spirituality in that area. Are you getting my point? You must still gather with people All right? I like the fact that I belong to chat groups on WhatsApp and all of that, that of brethren. I know each person. All right? And we talk to each other. That's good, though. You know, you can digitize your Christianity. It's good. But physical gathering is still important. You must pray together. People who, you know, sometimes something bad we happen to you. And God puts, you know, you don't realize it. Somebody said something once. I got a message. He said that you should pray for somebody every day and that your prayer may be the thing that will solve somebody's problem and make somebody happy. He said, I can't remember the way they said it, but this is the general spirit of it. He now said that there are days you feel very happy also. Don't forget, somebody actually was praying for you that day. Do you get my point? Yes, you know. If you read the story in my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, when I talked about sometimes Isaacs die, you understand? And I talked about the experience we had in my family, my wife and I, with the first pregnancy, all right? And then, of course, towards the end of the pregnancy, the baby died in utero and was born, all right, an IUD. I remember when I went to see one of my friends then, he said, no wonder that like the week before, he had just had me on my mind, so he was praying. Do you get my point? I didn't tell him anything. He didn't know anything. This was before the days of GSM. I remember when I had to call my, I had to go to the, I think the phone card, you know, that kind of thing. So when I saw him a week later, he said, no wonder that it just coincided with the season when I would just come to his mind and he would start praying. He just feel like something is out of order. He didn't know what, but he just started praying. Thank God for praying in the spirit. You remember, okay, thank you, well, Lord, take care of him. I begin to pray in the spirit. So when I just tell him, he said, okay, that explains it. There was a time I heard a story. Missionary was somewhere, you know, deep in the jungles where they go and do stuff. You know, preach the gospel. And the fellow became very ill, sick unto death, had a bad fever, was going to die, became unconscious, then woke up suddenly, the person was well. You know, there are times you are confessing the word, and the word is working. This one, you're dead, so you can't confess. Dead men don't talk. You know that kind of thing? You're unconscious. The fellow was unconscious, couldn't confess Jack. Later on, when the fellow traveled back home, I think either to England or to the United States, when they checked record, you know, just talking to the friends. One person now suddenly said, there was this particular day, I just had you on my mind. And I prayed and prayed and prayed until I felt a release. It was that release came when that fellow woke up from the deathbed. Do you get my point? There is no good Christian that's alone in my corner. I'm just alone. The Bible says he sets the solitary in families. He finds them solitary. He takes them and puts them in families. He said only the rebellious continues to dwell in a past place. Those who don't listen, you can't talk to them. They know everything they are doing. They are the only one that knows everything. The whole world is upside down. I'm the only one that is sane. All of them are crazy. People like that are the ones you find always alone. Don't talk to anybody. I just stay by myself in my corner. It is not the will of God. You are disobeying the ordinances of God. That's what we're talking about. That's an ordinance. Communion, sharing communion, literal communion. This is my blood. This is my body that was broken for you. It's an ordinance. Interestingly enough, that is one ordinance that Jesus commanded. Now, we said all of these things, following all of them, is what is called following God fully. Don't forget that. That is what is called following God fully. The problem, very common in today's Christianity, is that people often follow God only by promises. So they come to church on Sunday, and then the pastor comes and says, this week it shall be well with you. And it is right. You say, I do it by the time we are closing every Saturday evening here. After our Bible studies, I do it because it is right. The priest in the scriptures, that was the commandment that God gave them. He said to Moses, say to Aaron and to his sons, thus you will bless the children of Israel. You will say to them, the Lord bless you. The Lord, he gave them instructions on what to declare upon people. It is right. You must declare upon your friends, your family. Most importantly, if you're a married person, declare upon your wife as a man, declare upon your children, declare upon your business. Walk into your shop, all right, your business premises, go in there, all right. If you're supposed to open at 8, be there by 7:30, saying things. Talk to the door, this door. People walk through you today, they will bring blessing. Troublemakers can't pass through here. You're talking to the door. 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 I found that after preaching on Saturday, I said towards the end, that when God said to Jesus Christ, this is concerning Jesus to everybody, he said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. What did he say? Listen to him, hear him. Until I was preaching on Saturday, I thought that he was telling the people to hear him. It was after I finished preaching, I realized that he was sending everything to hear him. He told the seas, hear him. He told the trees, hear him. He told everything, hear him, including the human beings. That was why when he spoke to the storm said, they said we should hear him. The storm shut up. When he said, peace be still, the storm went down. When he spoke to the tree, nobody will eat from you again. The tree said, they said we should hear him. The tree just let us die by ourselves. What am I saying? If you put the word of the Lord Jesus upon your mouth, God has spoken to your business. Hear him. I don't know what I hear what I said. He has spoken to your life. Hear him. Spoken to your body. Hear him. It's what you say to your body. The body will eventually respond to. I told you that let there be light. Doesn't mean let there be light now. Let there be light. God walks away. Light will show. Light will come. A lot of us will use our faith to kill the word that has gone forth because it didn't manifest 2 seconds later. So go there early. Declare upon your business. You will bring good business. You are an institute of righteousness on the earth. You're talking to your business. God has said, hear him. The walls there will hear. So it is right. That's what I'm trying to say. But remember, we don't only follow God by his promises. So pastor comes to church on Sunday. He's declaring upon you. He shall be well with you. You're going and you're coming in. That is one aspect. As he's saying that, you must obey his precepts. Once you have heard the promise is not only a commandment to succeed, it's also a commandment to behave. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you hear what I said? The promise of God is not only a commandment to succeed, because that's what a blessing is. A blessing is an empowerment to succeed. Nothing. It never happens that God starts something without putting a blessing therein. After creating everything, he said, now that we have finished this, be fruitful and multiply. That was the electricity needed to energize everything. Fill the earth and subdue it. That's what is called a blessing. Anything you are doing in life, you must start it with a blessing. It's very important. But remember, even though God gave a blessing, a commandment, a promise to the house of Eli, he said, because they refused to honor him, he said, therefore, I have to withdraw that blessing. He said, because he that honors me, I will honor. Because he said, did I not swear to your father's house that you will be priest before me forever? He said, but now far be it from me. Why? Because it is the person who honors me that I will honor. That is, the fulfillment of that promise was predicated upon the honoring of God. Paul said, since we have these promises, therefore, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That is a commandment, a blessing, the promise is not only a commandment to succeed, it is also a commandment to behave. So, we have the promises, we must walk by the precepts. We must continually learn the commandments. We must continually obey the ordinances and pay attention to our personal testimonies. When we have done all of these things, then we will use the words spoken concerning Caleb and Joshua, that they followed the Lord their God fully. And because of that, they became giant killers. Because of that, they took the mountain. Caleb took a mountain that the Bible says used to belong to the strongest, the biggest, the most mighty of the Anakim, a man called Arba. So they called the place Kiriath Arba. That was the very place, not the other places, so where the small giants were. The place where the big giants were was the place that Caleb went to and went and took the land and renamed the place Hebron. The energy was not just determination. It was based upon following the Lord, his God, fully. Do you get my point? Now, listen to this. Open your Bibles. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now you see why I said all of these things. Actually, where I'm narrowing everything I'm saying down to is the fact that this is our last day of school of prayer for the year. And for some 40 weeks thereabout, every Tuesday, we have been here studying the word of God concerning prayer. And I'm talking about following the Lord our God fully to explain that before the blessing can come upon anybody, it must have a fertile ground. That's what I'm trying to say by all of those things. The blessing must have a fertile ground upon which it can be planted. The seed is the word of God. But you read from that book of Mark chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 8, you will find out that the seed has to be planted in an appropriate soil. The soil must be good. The soil must be able to receive the word that is planted. And you'll see where I'm going in a moment. The preparation of the soil is by the entrance of that word also, which goes to break the fallow ground. That word goes to break the rocks, clears the place, so that the promises can come in. Now, now see verse 28, in chapter 28 of the book of Deuteronomy, from verse 1. It said, "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey," if you have King James, it's beautiful there. He said, "If you diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." I'm reading New American Standard here. He said, "If you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I command you today." He said, "The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God." We'll look at the blessings in a moment. But notice this. He said, "These blessings will come upon you upon one condition," based on one condition, "that you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I command you today." Now, if you read that particular, I listened to Derek Prince about this, he explained this, and I've checked some other translations. Some will tell you, if you pay attention, that's what I want to bring out. They'll tell you, if you pay attention, if you, you know, Derek Prince said, the literal Hebrew says, "If you shall listen, listening." That's what he said. If you shall listen, listening. Or if you shall listen, listen. And anytime you read the scriptures, in fact, using the words of Joseph, once something is said twice, it shows you it's very important. You know when Joseph said that? He said the two dreams he said to Pharaoh, they are the same thing. He said, but the fact that God had to repeat it to you, thereby showing you twice, he said it means that this thing is about to start immediately. So, and it's like that. So when Jesus wants to talk, you hear, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." All right? Literally, it means amen, amen. That is, what I've told you is like saying, "I swear by Almighty God that the evidence I shall give in this case before this court shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth." That was how they could do it. So when it says, "You shall listen, listening," what he was saying is that, I'm telling you, this listening thing, not the matter. Do you get my point? This is the issue. You must pay attention. That's why some versions will say, "If you shall pay attention." Now, interestingly enough, that word for the Israelite, for the Hebrew, what it meant was to obey. Are you getting my point? Like I said, didn't you hear, or did he hear you? When they say like that, did he pay attention means, did he do what you told him to do? It's not just the ears hearing, but that the only proof that you heard is that you did. Do you get my point? But the issue with doing does not start with doing. It starts with what? I didn't hear you well.
Hearing.
It starts with hearing. It doesn't start with doing. So the man who we do is the one that hears and hears. There are two types of hearing. There is hearing, which is just one hearing. Do you understand what I say? You just hear. And those are the people that are hearers only. But the people who are doers are those who hear. I hope you are connecting it. If you shall diligently hearken, or you shall hearing, or listen, listening. They are not those who hear only. Now they hear only once. That is, the attitude that just enters my ear, I don't do it. But there are those who hearing. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing. For those who want to interpret that scripture, that's what it means. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing. It is not faith cometh by hearing, comma, and hearing by the word of God. No. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. But the hearing is the hearing and hearing type. So faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. It's a principle in the scripture. Hearing and hearing is a principle. It's a fellow who pays attention that finds the word working out automatically in their lives. Are you getting my point? And it's those people that the promises of God will be fulfilled in them. I told you I'm going somewhere, right? Good. Tell your neighbor, he's talking about me. Say like you believe it. Say he's talking about me. I pay attention.
I pay attention,
Gongo. Say the way you like it. I say I pay full attention. I'm a hearing hearer.
I'm
not a hearer only.
I'm not a
hearer only. See, there are two types. There's the hearing hearer, and there's the hearer only. Say it again. I am a hearing hearer.
I'm a hearing hearer.
I hear and hear.
I hear and hear.
Faith comes to me.
That's
what a lot of people don't understand. They want to do. No. It comes with hearing. Doing is a sign that you heard. Listen, in Christianity, doing is not an effort. We don't put our effort into doing. We do put our effort into what?
Hearing.
Say, so, are we not supposed to do? No, wait. If you hear, you will do. If you don't do, you didn't hear, you go back and hear some more. The doing for us is a sign. It is a sign that we heard. So, assuming now that you get to your office, you finish hearing the word. In fact, there's this book I would recommend, Love, The Way to Victory by Kenneth Hagin. And if you can get the audio sermons too, good. In fact, they are the same thing. Usually he preaches sermon first, then they extract the book from the sermons, all right? There was a time I had some issues in the office, and I was angered and provoked. The work of the flesh is outburst of anger. Is that not so? So you know what I did? I said, this is not good. So I went back home, took the book and read it. That's what I did. I took the book and what? Just to read it so that you can hear it. You know, it's the same thing. So if you find out, let's assume now that you are a husband, and you don't love your wife as Christ loved the church, don't go back home and say, okay, let me start loving my wife. Now, you won't. You will not. It's hard. What you do is that, grab a book like, Shall I Say Yes, and read section 2. By the time you finish reading it, you understand? You read it with prayer. Next time you see your wife, the love will just do you jiggy, 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 jiggy. You understand what I'm saying? The love will love you. You know, I keep on saying that. Christians, we don't act on the word. Yes, that's what I'm going to say. Christians, we don't act on the word. The word does what? Acts on us. The action you find out of us is something that the word plays inside by itself. So the doing is a sign. If you find out that you are doing the word, it means you heard it enough. If you find that you are not doing the word, you haven't heard it enough. Don't try and do it. Go and hear it again. Pay attention until the word starts acting on you. Just find yourself doing. You can't control it. You are doing. The more you hear, the more you do. If you are a hearing hearer, we labor wrongly a lot of times, we Christians. If I'm going to teach you how to change your life,